speak to me about it or one of the deacons. We'd love to have you involved somehow. It can be 30 seconds long. It doesn't have to, or a couple of minutes, however you'd like. So, what a great legacy. I look forward to the day when I can say that, I'm no longer in the top 10 of preachers in my family, but one step at a time. My kids can grow up, take their time to grow up. And we have known the Pegs for a long, long time and are so thankful for them. I haven't said that from the platform. I don't know if I've said that from the platform, but Danielle and I and our family just love you both and your family, and are so thankful to have known you. They were both teachers of ours, Danielle and myself, in high school, growing up in Flesherton and Markdale. It's so great to just more blessing, pray blessing on you and your family more and more. Someday I might have to tell the story about how Danielle got out of a speeding ticket when he first moved to Elmira by using their son's name. which son? Jamie. She got pulled over, if you know where the cemetery is in Elmira. I'm telling it now, not later, but. And it was her first day of teaching at Koinonia Christian Academy. She was and she got pulled over. She didn't realize it stayed 50 for a long time past there. And she accidentally gave her Flesherton driver's license instead of her new Elmira one. And the officer says, "Oh, you're from Flesherton. Do you know the Pegs?" And sure enough, he played hockey with their sons, with Jamie. So. What a great, and she got out of the ticket, which is great. A few tears in there, maybe, I don't know. But anyway. I wanted to make one big announcement. Obviously, in the season that we're in, we can't hold as many events. So there's a number of things that we're not doing during this time because of regulations. One thing we can do, and we're thankful for, is have church, have service, being able to be spaced out. And so we are going to have a Wednesday night service. We're going to start this Wednesday, starting at 6:30, because we can gather, have a midweek service. It's just going to run from about 6:30 till 7:15, so not a long service. Maybe it'll be 30, 40 minutes. It'll involve some prayer, some worship. We'd like to have a time of prayer as a congregation as well. And it will include maybe some more testimonies if some of you feel more comfortable sharing on a Wednesday night instead of on a Sunday morning, and a brief message. But it's just going to be a great time to be able to touch in midweek. This week, we are not going to be starting this live stream, just so you know, just because we want it to be a small, intimate time, and we're going to see where it goes from there. Maybe we'll live stream it down the road. But we encourage you to come on Wednesday night. So starting this Wednesday night, everyone say this Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. That's all I have to say. So you guys got it. A number of people have been giving me feedback, either speaking to me or emailing me, just about the Bible reading plan. Now, it's read through the Bible in a year, 5 days a week reading Bible plan. And it is an awesome plan. I love this plan. It's great to be able to have 5 days a week where we all read the Word of God together. And I think it'll be a neat time to be able to even share, possibly on Wednesday nights, what we've learned through those times. And just an encouragement that it is so important to be able to dive in and read the Bible. And yes, we're doing it from cover to cover. But again, just I've been saying this for a couple times over the past few weeks, even 15 minutes a day, 5 minutes in worship, 5 minutes in reading the Word of God, and 5 minutes in prayer will transform your life. Why? Because you're spending time with Jesus every day. And I guarantee doing this practical thing, setting into your calendar, and doing on a regular basis, there are things in your life that will transform. Not that you have to transform them. God will do the work. But he'll just lead you to different choices, maybe to different actions, or maybe even in your regular day. That's how the Holy Spirit works. When we welcome the Lord into our life every single day, he brings good things, good fruit, can't stop from growing out of us. So I encourage you to do this. I mentioned last week in point number one, pursue Jesus daily. And I said you will never accidentally grow close to Jesus, and you'll never stumble into spiritual intimacy. So we need to take up our cross daily, is what Jesus said, and be able to do this. Now, one thing I wanted to say, and I read this week, that a famous coach, I don't know who, but he said, we have to play every play as though it could be a game-changing play. Now, in football, there are approximately 120 plays per game, 120, and five or less of those 120 plays apparently determine the outcome. Five out of 120 plays determine the outcome of that football game. And that's why we have to play every play as though it could be a game-changing play. It's the importance with meeting the Lord every single day. You might read something in the Word of God that you need that day, or give you direction in a choice that you would have to make. And that's awesome. So many times I hear, what does it matter, or if it doesn't make a difference, but it does. And we can come, you know, we can come to church and get a good meal, if you will, spiritually, some meat and potatoes spiritually, but then we don't want to starve the rest of the week. You know, physically, we eat three meals a day, but we want to make sure we're nourishing ourselves spiritually on a regular basis. And it's based on ourselves, right? Because I want to see people grow spiritually. And we're going to do, as a church, we're going to do everything we can for people to grow spiritually, but we all need to do our part. Well, this morning I have named my sermon, Get Acquainted with Your Heavenly Father. It's a simple message about getting to know God the Father that I don't want to rush past. There are many, many times when I was writing this sermon, when I was working on it, that I thought, oh, I could speak on this, this point. But no, we want to focus on this. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Before we dive in, let's bow again in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you this morning that we have the freedom to be able to come and worship in this place as the body of Christ. Lord, we pray for unity in this place. And we declare, Jesus, that you are Lord of our lives. Lord, we choose to put you first in our lives in all things. Lord, and we choose to serve you with everything that we have, with all of our strength. And we say this morning that we love you. We welcome you. We open our ears and our hearts to be able to hear from your word this morning. Lord, I pray that we might grasp onto one thing from this message that would challenge us and change us and leave here today to be able to remember throughout the week, that we might be doers of the word and not hearers only, that this word would fall on good ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, spiritually speaking, there are only two families on this earth. There's the family of God, and there's the family of Satan. Every person, regardless of heritage or background, belongs to one of these two families. It feels good to say that, to be honest, because a lot of times, you don't hear that these days. So my question to you this morning is, what family do you belong to? Who is your father? Is it God? Or is it Satan? The only way that we can be delivered out of the family of Satan is to be born again into the family of God. John 3:3 says this. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Colossians 1:13 says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So you must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to be a part of the family of God and for God to be called your heavenly Father. Amen? So if you've accepted Jesus, God is your heavenly Father. And once you're born again, and as you get to grow, as you begin to grow spiritually, you get to know the character of God the Father, of our heavenly Father. Our flesh, the body, is just the transportation on this earth. As we sang this morning in that song, we are a vapor and God is eternal. But the truth is, God has made us all to be eternal beings. And not many people might even have heard that in their life. But God made us spirit, soul, and body. He made us as eternal beings. He made us to live for eternity. And there are only two places that we can go. And the Bible talks about it a lot. About heaven or hell. And the Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. And this brings us to point number one. God is everything to you. If God is your Father, he's everything to you. He needs to be everything to you. And the number one way that we get acquainted with God the Father is through his word and the Bible. It's the most powerful book on the face of this earth. This isn't just book. This isn't just stories. This is history. This is reality. This tells us who God is. That's why it's so important to dive in and read it and get to know God. Smith Wigglesworth once said, I can't understand God by feelings. I understand God by what the Word says about him. He is everything the Word says he is. Now you may see people want to get acquainted with the Father through experiences. And it's true that we can learn some things about God the Father through different experiences in life. But the number one way to get to know God the Father is through his word, the Bible. Now, I spent a lot of my time in music. In my 20s, I traveled professionally full-time around North America, singing, songwriting, writing with bands. And I had lots of friends who were in the industry, in the music industry. And a lot of them had great experiences with God. But many of them didn't continue with their lives down the road, getting to know God their Father. Why was that? A lot of it, I believe, was because it was based on a feeling. It was based on an experience. Going to this conference or that conference and feeling the experience, the rush, if you will, of great music and amazing speakers and being around lots of people. And truly, the Word of God. And those things are good. I loved as a youth pastor taking my youth group to youth conferences and seeing them go up to the front. Many of them would get saved, or that would sustain them throughout the year. But it's so important for each one of us to go back and get to know God the Father for ourselves, based upon our own knowledge, based upon the Word of God, not based upon an experience. In the Word, we find out that God, the Father's nature, and how much God loves us and how much He cares for us. And Jesus revealed God as a loving Father who cares for every need. And that is amazing. That right there is life-changing. If you can get a hold of that, you will walk out of here and have your life changed, knowing that God the Father is for you, not against you, that He loves you. Matthew 6:8 says this, and I want to read two versions. The first one is the Amplified version. It says this: "So do not be like them, praying as they do, for your Father knows what they need before you ask Him." Your Father, God the Father, knows what you need even before you ask Him. And in the King James version, it says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, the Gentiles, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." God knows what we need, but He still calls us to seek Him and to ask of Him. Why? Why doesn't He just answer? If He knows every need on the face of the earth, why doesn't He just answer it without us even having to ask? And that is not how relationship works. It's because He loves us. He wants to walk with us. He gives us free will and a choice, and He wants us to go after Him, to seek Him, to put Him first in our lives. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And I remember reading this even as a teenager and just being so transformed by this. And it was entitled, "Do Not Worry." The amount of times I have opened this scripture and read this scripture, and the amount of times this scripture has brought comfort to my soul, is I don't know, over and over and over and over again. And I bet it will be for the rest of my life. Because it talks about God our Father. It says this from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. It says, "Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Man, God the Father is calling us valuable. That's awesome. "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I love that scripture. And I love that verse when it talks, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Again, are you not much more valuable than they? And it's not saying that all the things about what we wear, what we eat, that God doesn't care about them. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, actually, he does care about them. And because God is your heavenly Father, he is going to take care of those things for you as you seek him first. Notice the utter tenderness in this picture of a father that's caring for his children. Our heavenly Father knows every single need that we have, and he desires to meet them before we even ask for help. So do we ask? Do we ask in confidence as his children? Can we come to him in faith, believing that he loves us, that he's a good father? Because if you do, I guarantee it will change the way that you pray. It'll change the way you stand in faith. It'll change the way you believe. It'll bring excitement to the way you believe, the way you pray. And this brings us to point number two. God is love, and he's your father. Many Christians, they have a difficult time comprehending God is a father that loves and cares for them. And often Christians have been religiously taught to fear and to shrink from a God of justice. They have the idea that God is like a judge who sits up in heaven for a chance to punish his people, watching for when we're going to make a mistake. But no, that's not God the Father. He loves us. He gives us grace upon grace after grace. How many times does he forgive us? Time after time and time and time again. But he still calls us to seek him, to put him first. And thank God for the Father's love, which Jesus came to reveal to us. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. And you can be sure of this one fact. As you trust God with your life, he will take a father's place and perform a father's part in your life. He is your father, and he loves you and cares for you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 says this: the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Think about your natural parents. Think about natural parents. Most parents want the best for their children and know how to give good gifts to their children. Well, the Bible asks this question: if natural parents know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more? Everyone say, how much more? How much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to us, his children? That's what the Bible says. This isn't coming from me. This is what the Bible says. Matthew 7:7-12 in the NIV says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Okay, can you imagine a parent actually doing this, by the way? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. So what are the good things that God the Father wants to give us his children? Well, if we have a need, it's good. It's a good thing to have our needs met. That's what the scripture says. We can have confidence that God, as our Father, will do this. As we ask, seek, and knock. I'm not trying to tell you, stand up here and say, hey, this is some magical thing. I'm saying, this is what the Bible says. And this is what God the Father is saying to each one of us. And we are all made different. We all are in different situations. But God wants to work relationship through each one of our situations. And he wants to show us how much he loves us. If you're hurting, you need to be healed. Healing is a good thing, and your heavenly Father delights in giving good things, as well as anything else that you may need. So the question is, are you willing to receive it this morning? I encourage you to overdose on the Word of God to build your faith so that you get to know God's love for you. It's not God in giving it that's the problem. It's us usually wanting to receive it. How many times? Apparently it takes an average of 7 times witnessing to someone for them to come to the point where they need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which is the most important gift that we could do, decision that we could do on the face of this earth. And if it takes 7 times for us to make the decision to come into faith, to actually believe, and for God to do that transforming work, how many other things is God waiting for us to come to him with? I'm just trying to bring a different perspective on our relationship with the Father God this morning. Can the Bible help anybody? Yes, this book will help anybody. This book, the Bible, is the essence of our living. It tells the beginning, it tells the end, it tells about eternity. We are a vapor, God is eternal. And God moves as we believe, just like in salvation. And we need to get a hold of this fact that God the Father doesn't love Jesus any more than he loves us. Did he love Jesus? Absolutely, with everything he had. But he loves us. That's why he sent Jesus on the earth to save us, so that we could be his children, his sons and daughters. And walking in the light of this one truth will make all the difference in the world in how we live our lives. So for instance, since the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus, then you will never be afraid of life's problems. Why? Because God walks with us. Was Jesus afraid? No. Jesus was asleep on a, had his head on a pillow in the middle of a, in the middle of a storm, on a boat. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And what can man do to a child who the Father loves and protects? The Father was for Jesus and as he walked upon this earth, so that means he's for us as well. Now, some people start feeling sorry for themselves if maybe a few friends abandon them or leave them behind or turn their back on them. And unfortunately, we do live in a fallen world, and people fall. People will break their trust. People who think this way, they need to get acquainted with the Father through the Word of God. Their Heavenly Father loves them, and He promised to never forsake them. Now, next week, we're going to be learning about how to receive God's promises as well, okay? Because there is a bit of a process to that. We're going to dive into that a bit more next week. But I want to read Deuteronomy 31, verses 8 and 7 in the NIV. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And Hebrews 13:5 in the NIV says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" What does God say? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isn't that awesome? So when you get acquainted with God the Father and begin to walk in the light and learn about Him, you won't feel sorry for yourself. You won't have pity parties. Your blue days will be behind you, because we get to rejoice in what God has for us. Because when God fills us, even when bad things happen or plans don't go as we planned, we still have joy in the Father. God is with us. He's for us. He's got a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. He can turn any situation around. It's not dependent on what we can think and what we're walking out. But if we put our trust in God, He'll give us a way out. He'll give us another idea. He wants to help relationships. He wants to help you in your business. He wants to help you even financially. Why? So we can love all those things more than we love Him? No. Because God is our Father. I'm convinced that God is more eager to answer than we are to ask. The Father is always with you, just as He was always with Jesus. Again, we can feel safe and secure in God's love. And this takes us to point number 3. God is a Father who is near. One day when I was small, I was walking in a mall with my grandpa and my sister, and my grandpa was hanging onto my sister's hand, and he was telling me to hang onto my sister's hand. It was a busy mall, and I was young, but I was at the age where I did not want to hang onto my sister's hand. And sure enough, after a few minutes, I found myself in the middle of that mall alone, and I could not see my sister or my grandpa. And finally, they turned and saw me, and I think I was crying and maybe screaming. They could spot me quite easily. And I remember that my opa, if you will, he saw me from afar. But when I finally saw him, I ran as hard as I could. And I grabbed his hand, and I didn't let go. I was willing to hang on to his hand at that point. But I wasn't afraid anymore when I was hanging onto his hand. I didn't have a reason to cry. All the craziness in the mall that was going on, it's fine. I'm okay, right? And that's how we need to be with God our Father. How much more should that be true with our Heavenly Father? I know even as a parent, think about God, how God is with us. Sometimes in situations. I know as a parent, There was a time we were in, we did a family trip to Niagara Falls, and we were staying in a hotel there. It was Marriott. No, it was five hotels connected to the Hard Rock Cafe, and there was a casino there, but there was also a water park. We were there for the water park. We weren't there for family gambling. So it was our last day, and I actually had a phone call, an important phone call that I needed, that we knew about. It was coming. It was at a set time. So I said, okay, I'm going to take this phone call. I had walked out. We got ready beforehand. Danielle was coming with the, do we have two or three? We had the two boys at the time. And so I went outside, had this phone call. And as I'm coming into the hotel lobby, I see Danielle. And Danielle is hysteric because she came down. She's carrying all this stuff with all the towels and everything. She got changed, you know, the boys changed. She came from the water park, and she came down probably the fastest elevator ever. And she walked out carrying all these bags of stuff. Josiah came out, and Liam runs back into the elevator. The doors close, and it goes back up. And she pushes the button, and it comes back down, and he's not in there. And we're in Niagara Falls, which isn't, he was 2 years old. He was 2 years old. So he had been missing, how long had he been missing? 10 minutes at that point? 20 minutes. He'd been missing for 20 minutes. I come in, and I go up to the person, one of the security guards, and I'm like, okay, what is your plan for a missing child here? And he goes, don't worry, we'll find your baby. And I'm like, first of all, he's 2 years old. He can run fast. He's not a baby that's just, that's how he got off the elevator, okay? And second of all, what if he goes to an underground parking lot? Is there safety there? Do you have people looking? Going to all the other hotels? Like, it was one of those situations where it's like, that is not the answer I want to hear. And I'm telling you, I was ready to stand on the chair and, you know, pray for angels to come down to find him. I don't know. But I was praying. I was like, in Jesus' name, I pray protection over my son. We are going to find my son. I was with everything inside of me. And then all of a sudden, a couple of men, it was busy. The lobby was crazy. It was packed. All of a sudden, these men came, were like, hey, they saw us, obviously something was going on, so they came forward and said, we're going to help you search for your son. And they went stairwell to stairwell, all the way up, floor to floor, and searched for him. And sure enough, I don't know how much longer, 5-10 minutes later, we get a call. Yep, he's on, was it the 7th floor? And here he got off on the 7th floor. Okay, as I'm going up, I'd heard that they found him, so I'm going up the elevator, packed with these men. And these men are like, hey, we're a bunch of pastors. We're actually having a Baptist convention here. So I'm like, you're pastors? I'm a pastor. and sure enough, Liam got off on the 7th floor. I don't know how. He walks down the hall into their convention hall during their meeting. And someone goes, where's your parents? And he's just like, mommy? Mommy? And he's sitting, and they kept him there. He was safe and sound. What I believe is by our Heavenly Father taking care of him, protecting him, when his natural parents couldn't. But I know his natural parents, man, we wanted everything for him. We would have done anything in that situation to keep him safe. How much more does your Heavenly Father care for you, for your life, for every situation? Don't buy the lie that he doesn't care for you, that he doesn't care about your finances or your health. He does. He wants to give you natural wisdom that can help us, but he can help us through spiritual guidance as well, through miracles, as we believe in him, as we pray in faith, as we stand with a body of believers. Because ultimately, This life is all about knowing God the Father and spending eternity with him. Because there is going to be a day where all of this falls away, and it's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. But when you know God the Father is with you, it's not just for eternity, it's for right now, each and every day. Spending time with him becomes, that 15 minutes can become the most important part of your day. They say it takes about 20 days to break a habit, to change a habit. And a lot of times you can't just take away something, you need to add something. So if there's something that you take away, add the Word of God. That's why it's so hard but important sometimes to implement continual Bible reading. And I'm not just trying to come across religious. I'm saying when you dive in and know God the Father, it becomes the best part of your day because you know God walks with you every step of the way. He cares for you. Do you think Ron Pegg cares about his grandchildren? Well, that's a silly question. How much more does God care for his grandchildren? And because Ron knows that, he gets to pray for them and allow God into their lives, into his generations. So allow God to change your prayer life through the Word. Through relationship with him. It'll change the way you pray for your children, especially if they're not following the Lord. You stand guard, you pray for them, you call them into salvation. God wants to see them saved, amen? Along with other relatives or friends. God the Father always has a true and lasting love. He has all the answers to all of our problems. And as we come and know the experience and the depth of God the Father, our doubts, our fears, they roll off us. They don't plague us like they do in the past. So let's remember, as God the Father loved Jesus, he also loves us. And because God loves us, he sent his son Jesus and left us the Holy Spirit so that we will never, ever, ever, ever be alone in any situation. We're never found helpless or hopeless. We're never found without wisdom because we're connected to the vine. We're connected to the source of wisdom himself. Life becomes a different thing when you live it that way. It's awesome. Amen. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for you that we get to have a relationship with you, that we get to know you each and every day. Lord, we thank you for the love of the Father. Lord, so many times we speak of Jesus and we or the Holy Spirit, but Lord, we want to say, God the Father, we love you, we worship you. You are holy. You are perfect. Lord, and you have made us your children. You have taken away our sins. You've paid. You've done everything that needs to be done already for us so that we can know you and have relationship with you. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you today, I pray that they would ask you into their heart. To ask you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. To make you our Lord and our Savior. By the power of Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to die for us. To make a way so that we can know you. So we can be redeemed from our sins and made perfect in you. Lord, we receive you. We receive your love, and we receive the gift of knowing God our Father, knowing you as our Father. May we have more revelation of this day by day. May we be excited to meet with you each and every day and to pray with you, to talk to you. Because you call us to ask of you, to seek you, and that we will find you. We thank you for this promise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want to stand, we're going to sing one more song.